I would desire your prayers again this evening as we look into the Scriptures. I'd like to, again, turn to the book of Exodus and pick up another portion of the story of the miraculous deliverance of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, the place of sin. And I'd like for us to look at some of the, again, the parallels that take place in the Old Testament and this miraculous deliverance of the Israelites and the same parallel deliverance that is in the New Testament and the New Covenant. Probably there's some of this information would be maybe considered teaching, not really a preaching as a message. But yet, it is a burden in my heart, and I've been reading in this account for a while and meditating on it and studying on it, and I really felt the Lord has, it's been a blessing to my soul, and I trust it will be to you. We're coming up on the time of Easter, be recognized and celebrated in our nation on April the 1st, and we have set aside March the 28th, the Wednesday evening service, to have an ordinance service here. And it always intrigues me to look at some of the timeline, the best the historians are able to calculate, of when Jesus was crucified. Now, they have a hard time making an account or a date of when he was born. But they have done a pretty good job of being able to make a timeline or time frame of when he was crucified. And this evening I'd like for us to look at some of the parallels and realize that the God that we serve is not a God of happenstance. He is a God that is very meticulous in His dealings and calculations with mankind, with humanity. He is not a God of chance. While He is a God that is a dynamic God, He is always moving, He is always working, but His working is done in such a way as to bring assurance to His children, to His followers, if we will study His Word. His Word, as we've tried to reinforce to you, present His Word as fact, because it is fact. When we read the creation account, present it to our children as fact. No, we can't fill in all of the real details, but there are things that we have to acknowledge belong to a power that is so much higher than anything man can comprehend. Things that are fixed, things that are established, laws of nature, gravity, force, all of those things that they just are. They come not from because of a collision of stars and planets and molecules. They come from intelligent design. They come from one who spoke these things and these laws into existence. And they are divine laws. They are laws that work. And mankind has been able to make some very strategic and minute calculations based upon those things that God has established as settled fact, principles, and laws of nature. Man has been able to send astronauts to the moon and back, not because they are able to make all these calculations, just figure it all up, but because there are constants, that things that you can hang your hat on, things that are absolutes, that they make their calculations based on the absolutes, and when they have those, then everything else can fall back to that point of reference, and you can calculate forward and make assessments from a place of stability. To you and me, folks, that anchor is God. And may it always be that we look to Him as being that anchor point. And we can calculate our lives, we can settle our lives, the things of our future that we don't know all the details about, but if you have that anchor point, and it's anchored in the Lord, anchored in God, we have a hope. We have something steadfast and sure that we can hold to. And I say this morning, as we spoke in the morning service concerning the deliverance of the Israelites from the Egyptians, and how that the Lord allowed them or caused them to be led, told Moses how to lead them. He told them, don't take them through the land of Philistines. That's not the way I want you to go. I want you to take them this way. And the Lord led them to the place where they had to come to the sea. And they faced an obstacle before them. And there was no other way for it to be, for a deliverance to be said for them, except that a power higher than the force of nature had to come into play. And who better than the God that created it to speak to it and say, I'm going to have honor on Pharaoh, and I want my children delivered. And thank God, folks, you and I can have that same type of faith and confidence and trust and deliverance that God will give to us at the end of our journey. This evening, what I'd like to look at is in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. This is previous to the Passover supper and previous to the Passover lamb being sacrificed. And I'd like for us to look at some of the accounts that take place here in this passage and look in the New Testament at the parallels. And we'll find how strikingly similar the time frames are in what God did for the Israelite nation and what He did for humanity in presenting them with an escape and deliverance from sin. Chapter 12, the book of Exodus, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. I'd like to speak concerning the change that God established here, the beginning of months. This month, as I understand it, is Abib, which is March, April, or also month of Nisan on the Hebrew calendar. Month of Abib or Nisan. It was in the time frame of March to April is when this was to take place. And He told them that I want you on the 10th day of this month, this is going to be the new beginning for you. In other words, what He was saying to them is mark this day. Instead of your new beginning, your new year being on Tebeth, it is going to be Nisan. I want you to take this day and mark it as your first day. And why not? Because it was a day of deliverance. And I say, folks, that I've heard folks testify over the years, I ask a question maybe sometimes, well, what's your birthday? And they'll give you a date, and they say, but the day that I was born again was this day. And they say, that's my birthday. Well, I thank God for that type of thinking, because when we are reborn and we have a new birth and we're regenerated, that ought to be a time of significance for us. Now, I can't tell you with that certainty. I'd have to do a lot of calculating to go back to figure when that day was. I know it was the last night of assembly meeting in Hammond, Louisiana. I do remember that. Last night of that meeting, it was a cold, rainy night, but I can't remember much anything else about what the date was. I'd have to do some figuring to go back. I could probably find it out, but I do remember that. And I thank the Lord for that time that He changed things. And I look at my life since then and know the trajectory I was on, and that He changed me into a new creature. Have I always understood? No, I have not always understood. Have I always known the right thing to do? No, I haven't always known the right thing to do. But I wanted to do the right. And I wanted the Lord to help me and lead me and guide me in that place. And that was a new day, a new birth. And I thank the Lord for that and for everyone in this building this evening that can look back in time and say, I remember. I may not be able to name the day, date, and the hour, but I remember when I got on my face before the Lord, He dealt with my heart and He saved me and He made me a new creature. That's a new day for you. And the Lord said to these people, look at this day that I'm putting you here before your face. This is going to be a new day for you. Mark this as the first day. It'll be in the third verse. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, rather in verse 2. It'll be the beginning of months. This is your new year. It shall be the first month of the year to you. God made a change right here. Instead of it being that other month, He said, this is the one I want you to mark as the beginning of the year for you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. One of the commentators said this, it was to be set apart 4 days before, denoting the designation of the Lord Jesus to be a Savior, both in the purpose and the promise. It is very observable that as Christ was crucified at the Passover, so He solemnly entered into Jerusalem 4 days before the very day that the Paschal Lamb was set apart. All right? Matthew Henry says this, concerning the story in the book of Exodus about the Passover and the blood and all that was to take place, he says, now without doubt, there was much of the gospel in this ordinance. It is often referred to in the New Testament, and in it, to us, is the gospel preached, not to them only, who could not steadfastly look to the end of these things. Much of the gospel was in this ordinance of the Passover supper and the lamb and all that was to be done there, the types and shadows. It is an absolutely beautiful story to read and study and meditate upon to see what God was doing to set apart. Now, I'd like for us to turn in the New Testament to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. By the help of the Lord, try to lay down a timeline here. Matthew, chapter 21. Verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage and the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. This is when Jesus is about to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. A little bit farther down, we read how that he made that entry in the other Gospels, how he made that entry into Jerusalem, how the people saw him coming and they took off their coats and they waved the palm branches and they laid things down in the street before him and said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, Hosanna. They were recognizing him and giving praise and thanks to him for who he was. And while they didn't fully understand everything that was taking place, yet the divine mind, God the Father in heaven, was ordaining and orchestrating all of the events to take place in His divine mind to coincide with the very same thing that happened in the Old Testament during the time of the Passover for the Israelite nation. I say to us today, folks, this God that you and I serve is not a God of happenstance. And if we can reinforce these things in the minds of our children, and let them know that this God had divine purpose in making all of these things known to humanity, all that would. And He set this apart, and how that Jesus made His trip into Jerusalem 4 days before, and how the Lord saw that and knew that all those things were to take place. And may the Lord help us to have these things cemented in our minds that will help us to know that God had a divine plan for your salvation and mine. Not just for those Israelites. And it says, the Scripture says, He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but is one inwardly. How God made a plan of deliverance for all of His chosen people, and salvation plan was to reach to all of humanity. All right? Now in this verse, 21 and 1, and then they find this little donkey and they bring him into Jesus. And it says in verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. The disciples went, did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now Jesus, as he was coming into the city, I won't try to go through the different gospel accounts and read them, but there were things that he saw as he went in and that he wanted to set right. It was a busy time for the Lord these 4 days. In the 21st chapter, the 18th verse says, now in the morning as he returned to the city, he hungered. Here is another day that took place. Matthew 26. When we read 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25, those events that are compacted into those chapters took place in the course of 2 days. The Lord was a busy man during that time. We look at that and we see, as we read those chapters, it looks like it took a lot of time for those things to take place. But it was compacted in a time, a short space of time, that the Lord was working and delivering and moving and getting the message across, and conflict and those who were sharply conflicted against Him. And He cleansed the temple and He went about the business of being the Son of God, knowing who He was, knowing what His purpose was. And then we turn to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew and verse 1. And we read, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings, He said to His disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. I read from Smith's Bible Dictionary, a little portion. According to the divine purpose, the true Lamb of God was slain at nearly the same time as the Lord's Passover, at the same season of the year, and at the same time of the day as the daily sacrifice in the temple. The crucifixion beginning at the hour of the morning sacrifice and ending at the hour of the evening sacrifice. That was the divine plan of God. Now I'm going to go over a few events here. It comes from a site called Jesus.org, and it gives a little timeline of things that took place, just so we will have some idea. On Nisan 9, which coincide with the March 25, Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, He spends the night in Bethany. The next day, the 26th, He leaves Bethany, curses the fig tree on the way into the city, weeps over Jerusalem, cleanses the temple for the second time in His ministry. Late in the day, looks at the temple, then leaves the city and spends the night in Bethany. Tuesday, March 27th, leaves Bethany, finds the fig tree withered, teaches on faith, possesses the temple and its precincts, confounds and pronounces woes upon his enemies, leaves the city. Judas bargains with the Sanhedrin to betray him. He spends the night in Bethany. Wednesday, the 28th, is a silent day. No record in the Gospels, but much activity as Jesus prepares for the Last Supper. Wednesday will be the day, Lord willing, if He spares time, when we will have our ordinance service on the 28th. Now, according to this, Wednesday the 28th was a silent day. when there was a lot of activity, but not much recorded in the Gospels of things and the events that took place on that day. On the 29th, Thursday, Peter and John are sent to make preparation for the Passover meal. That's in Matthew 26. After sunset, he eats the meal with the 12, washes the disciples' feet. Judas departs. The Lord's Supper is instituted. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll read that in the book of John. He is betrayed by Judas, arrested by the Sanhedrin. And then on that Friday, that long, long night and long day that our Lord, after having been arrested, gone through the mockery of trials, stood before Pilate and said, Pilate said to him, "Don't you know that I have power to save you and I have power to crucify you?" And Jesus said, "You could have no power at all except my Father gave it to you." True words. True words. And he was about to be crucified. But I remind us that he went in to Jerusalem on the 25th. Went into Jerusalem the 25th. On the 29th, on the 30th, is when he was crucified. The 4 days before the Lamb was slain, he was chosen, set aside, made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. At that point, folks, our Heavenly Father in His divine mind, looking down on this earth, knowing that there would be people who would look into the Scriptures and look into the timelines and look into the things that have taken place, could find solid evidence that there is an account of what God was doing for the salvation not only of the Israelite nation, but for our own salvation. And how blessed it is for us to know that God wanted us to be able to look into these things so that we could have assurance in our hearts and our minds that it wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't just happened to be that God allowed Jesus to be crucified at this time. It didn't just happen to be that this was the time that things came to a fever pitch with the Sanhedrin council and the scribes and the Pharisees. It was all in the divine mind of God that had a plan of salvation established and set up for all of lost humanity that would coincide with the deliverance that He had for the Israelite nation from that land of Egypt. Again, reinforcing Egypt being a type of sin and how that God told them when to have their sacrifice, when to pull their sacrifice out, when to separate it, and how long to hold it before it was to be offered as a sacrifice. And Jesus makes His entry into Jerusalem 4 days before He is to be crucified. Are we to think that that just happened to be? I choose to believe otherwise. I choose to believe that there was a divine plan, that God had a master plan that He wanted us to be able to hang our hat on, folks. As we said early on, the calculations that mankind has been able to do come from a basis and a standpoint of absolutes. There are just absolute facts in the universe that man is able to look to, concrete things. He is able to calculate from a basis and a fundamental basis where he can come from that and move forward and calculate. So we have the same thing. Our God, our loving God, powerful God, gave us something in this plan of salvation that is absolutely concrete. Man will try to make you think that there's nothing to it. Man will try to make you think that God just, it's nothing to these things, that Jesus was just a prophet, that there was nothing to this plan of salvation. I say to you that we need to turn to the face of the devil and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I read the accounts. I see what you did. I see what God did for me, for my soul. I see how He had a plan. And I have chosen to accept His plan." My mind takes in that all these things were done by a mind greater, more powerful, divine plan, something that I can hang my hat on. And as we have said early on with the book of Hebrews, where it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is language there that talks about it's not just believing. It is a foundation. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. This building sits on a solid foundation. It's more visible to us now than it has been for a long time because of the flood that we went through, and we see the concrete, the bare floors. Thank God for the beautiful building that we have. But underneath all of that is a foundation of walls, footings, throughout reinforcement rods, wire, mesh, things like that that hold things together. And when this building was being built many, many years ago, there was a lot of water that came through here. I think there's about 18 inches inside this building, 12 to 18 inches in this building. And there was so much force and pressure under the ground that there was a crack in this slab. And the trustees were concerned about it. What do we do? We stop here. Do we continue with this building and move forward? Called someone out, maybe some engineering called out to come look at it, take a look at it. And they said, go ahead and build. You got good foundation. You got a good support. You've got good footings under it. It'll stand. It'll hold. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of the things not seen. You and I are not able to look under here and see the footings, all the foundation. We're not able to see all that. We see the slab of concrete that it sits on. But we don't see all of the other things that are there. But they're there. They're there to help to hold this building up and hold it all in place. So it is with our salvation, folks. We have to understand and know that there is a God that made not only things that just are superficial, but there's something solid underneath it all that will hold it. And when this world is reeling and this world is rocking under the power of Satan and the world is being torn apart by all the evil influences, remember, there is always one that has ultimate power and authority. As we heard this morning, I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. We need to present that to the minds, not only our minds and be convinced of it, but present it to the minds of our children and help them to understand that these things are not just chance. The divine plan of God made it possible for us to have something that we could consider to be an absolute foundation. Again, reading what Smith's Bible Dictionary, according to the divine purpose, the true Lamb of God was slain at nearly the same time as the Lord's Passover, at the same season of the year, at the same time of the day as the daily sacrifice in the temple, the crucifixion beginning at the hour of the morning sacrifice and ending at the hour of the evening sacrifice. You think that was just chance? No. No, it wasn't just chance. But this had a much deeper meaning than that Passover lamb that was slain. Oh, it was a wonderful deliverance that night when the cry was going throughout the land of Egypt, the mournful cry of the firstborn in every household that was gone, died. The death angel moved through the land, and the blood of that lamb saved the children of Israel in the land of Goshen from that death angel. We can have the same thing, folks. There's coming a day when God will have honor upon sin. But we can be saved. Through the divine mind and plan of God, we can be saved. I'm thankful that we have the story of Jesus and His crucifixion and His resurrection. And those things are necessary to be taught. Those things are something that we ought to reinforce in our minds, and we ought to have constantly before us and remember those things. But also, there are deeper elements in it that the Lord, I believe, would be pleased for us to know, to be able to hang our hat on and look at that and say, thank you, dear Father. When we look forward today, folks, I think what we're going to find out is that when we look forward to the time, as we had in our song, I will sing with holy angels of this rest, happy rest. I will dwell there forever with my Lord and my King, and with everlasting praises make those high arches ring. There is joy in the Lord. When we come to the end of our journey, and we have had the salvation plan work in our lives, we'll be able to sing that story. We'll be able to stand before the Lord And we'll be able to have that salvation blood over our lives, folks, to be able to know that that God, then to have all of those things. I like to think of the time when we can stand before the Lord and have it all unfolded before our eyes. And I'm satisfied that's going to be a part of our praise to the Lord in heaven forever. Seeing that divine mind, knowing how we can't, here, there is no way possible for us in this flesh to be able to comprehend all that God has done. But when we get that glorified body and we stand in the presence of God Almighty on that day, and we realize what power there is in the Word of God, in His voice, and we see what He has done for us, and we see all of the workings on our faces before Him as the elders, praising God day and night, day and night. Thank God for His plan of salvation. It works. It's real. It's more than just surface. It is the crucifixion of Jesus. It is the resurrection of Jesus. But it's also so much more, because it is the divine plan from a divine mind. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. Please pray for me. Amen.